bei Rückstand. Rhythmus mega hot. Und händelt die Chance mal am 5. zum Tor. Die
Moin, Donnerstag, 24. Januar 2019, eine gute Stunde später als 19.10 Uhr und ihr hört den ersten Millanton im neuen Jahr 2019. Es ist eine Sonderfolge, eine Spezialfolge, weil ich, Yannick, mich gefragt habe, wie ist es denn eigentlich, wenn man als St. Pauli-Fan mehrere tausend Kilometer entfernt vom Millantor wohnt. Wir kennen das, wir haben viele Fans des Vereins innerhalb Deutschlands, die mehrere hundert Kilometer entfernt sind, aber die Vertreter, mit denen ich gesprochen habe, da wären zum Beispiel zu nennen ein Fan aus Yorkshire, ein Fan aus Glasgow, ein Fan aus Manchester und dann über den großen Teich hinweg Leute aus Kanada, aus New York und aus Buffalo. Wie ist es denn eigentlich für die, den Verein zu verfolgen? Waren sie schon mal am Millantor? Wie verfolgen sie die aktuellen Geschehnisse? Und ja, Was sind Ihre Erwartungen für die aktuelle Saison? Das waren so ein bisschen unsere Themen und ja, darüber habe ich mich mit den jeweiligen Vertretern in zwei getrennten Aufnahmen unterhalten. Das hat ein bisschen natürlich auch mit der Zeitverschiebung zu tun, dass man jetzt nicht sagen konnte, wir treffen uns alle sechs zu einem Termin, was vielleicht auch ein bisschen zum Hören schwierig geworden wäre, da sechs verschiedene neue Stimmen und auseinanderzuhalten. Oder vielmehr sieben, weil es ja zwei Vertreter aus Kanada sind. Ja, und deshalb gibt es, oder ist diese Aufnahme zweigeteilt und ihr könnt das dann das einteilen, wie ihr möchtet. Natürlich ist es alles auf Englisch, nicht so wie das Gespräch, was Mike schon mal geführt hat vor ein paar Wochen, das dann zum Teil auf Deutsch und zum Teil auf Englisch war, sondern es ist komplett auf Englisch. Kleine technische Hinweise, manchmal ist vielleicht meine Stimme durch die Verbindung in die anderen Länder ein bisschen dünn geworden. Das liegt an der Aufnahmequalität von dem Aufnahmesystem, was wir benutzen oder was ich benutze. Aber es geht ja vor allem darum, was meine Gäste euch zu erzählen haben. Von daher hoffe ich, dass das nicht allzu sehr ins Gewicht fällt und vor allem im Teil mit den USA-Vertretern ist ab und zu so ein kleines Pling zu hören. Das ist das Chatgeräusch von Skype, weil ich meine Gäste gebeten hatte, wenn sie etwas zur Diskussion beitragen wollen und ich gerade mit jemand anders im Gespräch bin, dass sie dann kurz in den Chat schreiben, wenn sie was dazu beizutragen haben. Das sollte aber eigentlich der Hörqualität keinen großen Abbruch tun. Ja, so viel der Vorrede. Ich wünsche euch jetzt einfach viel Spaß. Freue mich über Feedback zu diesem speziellen Format. Ob ihr da zufrieden mit wart, ob es euch was gebracht hat, ob ihr da gerne in Zukunft regelmäßig was zu hören möchtet, ob wir, wenn wir uns mit den internationalen Fan-Chaptern, wie ich es in den Gesprächen genannt habe, austauschen. Und ja, lasst es mich wissen und ja, damit ein guten Start in das neue Millantonjahr 2019 und wir hören uns am Ende dieses Formates nochmal wieder. Bis dahin.
So, we have January 16th, it's a Wednesday, 22 o'clock our time. I have to say that because the people I will be talking to are 1 hour before our time. And like I said in the German introduction, I will talk to guys from Glasgow, Yorkshire and Manchester, this part of the Millanton special. And first of all, a warm welcome to all of them. And we will start with Scott from Yorkshire. Welcome, Scott.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Really great that you are here. And the next one is Dave from Manchester.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you that you joined us. and final, last but not least, the only one that I have met in person so far, Gary from Glasgow.
Hiya. Thanks for having us as well.
Hi. Okay. In our normal format of this podcast, we do a little introduction of our guests. We usually ask them, who are you, what are you doing, and why the FC St. Pauli. Let's start with you, Scott.
Okay.
Introduce yourself to our audience, who are you, what are you doing, and how did you become a fan of the FC St. Pauli?
Okay, so my story is probably different to most people. I didn't find it through music or politics. It was completely by chance. I think it was October 2009, I think. St. Pauli played away at home. Just happened to be on holiday for the weekend, ground hopping around Germany in Dusseldorf. And having looked at the fixtures, St. Pauli were away at Oberhausen on the Friday. So we decided on the Friday afternoon to head to Oberhausen and go to the game. And when we got there, we just weigh in because generally it's a better atmosphere. We loved it that night, and I had the affection from there really to follow St. Pauli. So I've been a fan for probably a decade now. And then a couple of years ago, co-founded Yorkshire St. Pauli along with a group of other people, and the bond's grown stronger from there.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit more about your project? Because I think maybe of all the worldwide chapters of St. Pauli fans, we might have heard much more about you. Like your projects and all the stuff you're doing besides just supporting a football club?
Yeah, we decided pretty early on as a fan club that as good as it was meeting up every couple of weeks and watching second division German football, we felt there was a lot more to be done with it. We had, going back, what is it now, 9 years since the fan club started, we first met each other through the St. Pauli UK internet message board. Mm-hmm. And we got to know each other through that, and the group started through that, and we had quite a large group of people quite quickly through social media who wanted to become members and get involved, not just from Yorkshire but throughout the UK and also wider afield as well. So we've always felt as a club that there's more to it than just meeting up and watching football, and actually it's a bit of a waste if that's your sole purpose. So one of the main things we did when we first started was to try and integrate refugees and asylum seekers into the group, with the original offer really of asking them if they wanted to come and watch St. Pauli games with us in a local pub in Leeds, which was a struggle for us at the best of times to drag ourselves to Leeds on a Sunday afternoon to watch German football, let alone trying to get refugees to come along as well, and sell the idea to them when they're more interested in watching Barcelona or Real Madrid or Manchester United. So we struggled with that. And then from talking to the refugees and the asylum seekers in the local community, we realised there was a gap there too. Actually wanting to play football. So we started a project which we now call Football for All, which is to give the refugees and asylum seekers, but also the wider local community, an opportunity to play football in a safe environment. So that's one of the projects that we're involved in. Mm-hmm.
And you already said that you are a bunch of people. Name a number of people that are regularly involved in your project?
Yeah, we have the last count over 100 members, which has been the same number for a good few years now. Like I say, that's members not just from Yorkshire but from further afield as well, who perhaps just want to feel connected to a sense of community. But in terms of active members and people that we get watching the games, it tends to be anywhere between 10 to 30 of us, depending on what the weather's like and what the game is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And how many times do people of your group make it over to the Millen Tour?
This season, I think we've pretty much, in some capacity, been to every game. Not always as a group. We tend to travel as either as individuals, tend to make an advantage of the Ryanair 24-hour flights. You know, we tend to travel on our own, or you know, we go as a small group. We have the occasional large group, but with such a number of people, it becomes a bit of a nightmare to organise. So we tend to travel in small groups now. Mm-hmm. And but I think the fan lads are probably pretty annoyed with us, because I think we've requested tickets for almost every game this season for one person or for a number of people.
So someone of you was always there.
Always there, always representing.
Okay, cool. And when you're home in Yorkshire, where do you watch the games?
We don't have one sort of fixed venue. We've always kind of struggled to find a regular venue, depending on the circumstances of the venue and what else they've got going on. We're not lucky enough, like some fan clubs have access to German television, so we rely on showing the games through St. Pauli TV after the games usually. Mm-hmm. So we tend to watch them on delay, which, you know, on a Friday, if the games are a 5:30 kickoff UK time, it's 7:30 in England by the time it's on delay, so we can watch it. So we tend to struggle to find somewhere regularly. So we have three or four locations in Leeds that we tend to use, but we also try and occasionally take the screens on the road, as we would call it, and so we go to other places within Yorkshire and further afield to show games as well.
Okay, so a travelling group of supporting watchers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and I know, Will, that this is a little bit different in Glasgow. They have a regular place where they watch the games. Gary, would you also like to introduce yourself to the listeners and like same questions as I did to Scott?
Okay, I'm Gary from Glasgow, St. Pauli. I first started watching St. Pauli in 2010. I went over with what's now a few members of the Glasgow Supporters Club, and it was during the Bundesliga, so it was against Dortmund, and like many, after you go the first time, that was enough to hook me ever since. Then became a member from afar of Yorkshire. Like Scott was saying, I think they've got people all over the world that just want to. Yorkshire were the first sort of within the old St. Pauli UK forum, they were the most sort of accessible. So it was, you were being part of something. And after spreading what St. Pauli were to some people, we decided that we'd start up a Glasgow version.
And how did that go?
Initially, it was, I think there was only 5 or 6 of us at the beginning, but that's steadily growing as we've found more and more St. Pauli fans in Glasgow. I think we are probably different to our Leeds and Manchester groups, where it's quite difficult to just find a St. Pauli fan that's there just for St. Pauli. But we've managed to do that to about, I think we've got 40 plus members now.
Okay.
Who are all, right? We've got about 20 maybe that are active for coming along and watching games each week.
Uh-huh. And like I said, you have this regular place where you do that. I've been there in person. Can you tell the audience where that is? And maybe if someone visits Glasgow and it's an away game or home game from St. Pauli, that might want to join you?
I know, that'd be telling. No, we do. We've got a couple of pubs that we watch the games in. What we normally suggest to people, it's down to the pub owners themselves, because it's a members thing. We suggest people to get in touch with us, either email us or message us privately on Twitter, and we'll tell them where the game is, just because of the way that the games are shown.
Mm-hmm. So with, if everyone is in Glasgow, just contact one of you guys, and then
yeah, absolutely,
you'll probably find a way to get along.
Yeah, we've got to try and make it work for ourselves as well as the pubs that we watch it in. So that's the kind of agreement that we've got with the pubs. Mm-hmm. But we've had plenty of people over that might be over visiting Glasgow from Germany and from other places, and they come along and they've fair enjoyed it.
Yeah, cool. Scott said that at least one of them is visiting the Milan Tour every game. How is the participation of Glasgow St. Pauli at the Milan Tour?
It's every season we seem to be going to more and more. So last season I'd like to point out, I went to 5 games and I didn't see St. Pauli score once last season. So this season I think I've been to 3 or 4 as a group, but there's a few times that individuals will go over themselves as well. So there is always, not to the extent, Yorkshire always seem to do things better than other folk, but not to the extent that Yorkshire have done it every single game. The last one with 19 people going over on a 24-hour trip, and that's never to be repeated again.
Yeah, I think I saw some pictures on Twitter.
Okay. Yes, 16 made it back, which was great.
Yeah, I heard that the 3 of you missed the flight.
Yes, those 3 will remain unnamed, I think, to save any blushes.
But they turned back some other time. Or are they still on
the airport? Yeah. Still over there, yeah. No, they got back later on.
Okay. Okay, then we have Dave left from Manchester St. Pauli. Same questions to you. Who are you? What are you doing? And why FC St. Pauli?
So I'm, as we say, I'm from Manchester St. Pauli. So we're probably the new kids on the block, as it were. We've only been going since 2017. It was weird that we got sort of 8 people in Manchester who'd all been to St. Pauli in their own time and maybe had a common thread, which was to York St. Pauli somehow, and one of the founding members got in touch, I think it was with either Scott or Chris from Yorkshire, to say, you know, are there any people in Manchester want to do this? So we met up in a pub and had a few beers and talked it out a couple of times, and sort of our first screening was the Bochum game at the start of the 2017-2018 season, and it's really flourished from there. So we've just opened up our membership for this year, and we're already at 51 members, which again, like Yorkshire, there's a lot of people joined from afar, but there's also a lot from Manchester, and we're quite lucky that we do get to show the games live. The our pub, the Seven Oaks in Chinatown, are not ashamed of the fact that they have a live feed for us. So we get a lot of people come down because they want to see a live game. So we can get up to 20, 30 people in the pub. We've got a private room upstairs for it. However, Derby Day this year, we actually took over the whole pub and had sort of 60 people in that pub, which was a bit of a shock to them. They had to get more staff in the day before we told them. And you know, we try to do a lot of the same things as Yorkshire and as Glasgow do. You know, we really look up to those guys in what they've achieved in working in their communities and doing charity things, and that's the thing that we wanted to do in Manchester. We wanted to take a piece of St. Pauli and bring it to Manchester and live those values in our community, and as we say, Yorkshire and Glasgow have really set the way with that and sort of set us some real challenges. So we're not competitive though, not one bit.
Now that should not be the idea of spreading the word that's some kind of competition.
No.
Everyone should do it like the way they can, and
exactly. Yeah, you see the other things other groups do, and you go, oh, that's a good idea. We should do something like that. So similar, we've started the football projects on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. And we do a lot with local migrant charities and local homeless charities, and you know, we feed. I think the groups really do feed off one another in taking ideas from each other and trying to push themselves forward.
That's great. And is it like in Glasgow that you should contact one of you guys before visiting?
No, or
is it just open to everyone?
No, it's open to everyone. We've even had we had some Hamburger SV fans in for the derby. We'll let anyone come in and have a beer with us and have a chat. So it's a really nice atmosphere, a really nice group, and you know, we've made some great friends as a result of it.
Cool. So we have a little view into your way of spreading the word. What do you think in general, that because we have not only fan clubs in the UK, we have fan clubs in North America, South America, everywhere around the world. Scott, what do you think about like the whole real youth spread of chapters, so to speak, showing up in the last years?
Yeah, it's come as a bit of a surprise to me, to be honest, because say when we first started as a group, going back to what was the St. Pauli UK message board, there was a sort of different sections for each sort of individual fan club. So there was one for Edinburgh, there was one for London. I think there was a discussion around the Dublin meetups as well at some point on there. But apart from that, there wasn't much happening, and everyone sort of relied on that forum. There wasn't really anyone active on Facebook or Twitter or social media around that. So, the boom in the last sort of 3 or 4 years around new fan clubs is excellent. But the way I see it is I'm always quite reluctant. There is quite an aspect of St. Pauli which has probably been touched on previously around the cult club and the idea of being a cult club, and I've seen some fan clubs set up where it's just sort of been for the sake of setting one up and getting some social media followers, and then it sort of dies down and now I've never heard of it again. So I'm always quite sceptical of them at first. But also there's a brilliant aspect to it, in that if you look beyond that and if you see that people are doing it for the right reasons, and that they're looking to spread the magnificent word of St. Pauli, that there's nothing really to stop that. And the more fan clubs the better, really, from my point of view. I think there's just got to be a sort of wariness of people at first as to what their reasons are behind that, because like I said, there are people out there who'll probably jump on board because St. Pauli is seen as a cool image and a cool club to support without actually knowing the background to the club and the ideas behind it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a little it can be compared to the situation in the stadium itself. You have like this huge number of people that understand the idea of St. Pauli and support the club and the whole spirit of it, and you also have the like event fans that only come to one or two games and after that they are gone.
From my perspective, I think from being in the UK and having spent several years now on flights with people who are going to Hamburg for the weekend to visit the Reeper Barn and are tagging on along to a St. Pauli game if they manage to get tickets, you sort of develop that sort of wary nature of people and what their intentions are. And like you say, as long as people have an idea of what the club's about, or even if they're willing to open the mind as to what it's about, then it's perfect. You've just got to have a sort of an awareness that not everyone buys into it straight away or are getting involved for the right reasons, that's all.
Yeah. Gary, what do you think? Do you agree that you should be skeptical and watch the spreading fan chapters a while if they keep up, or if they just like being part of the boom?
There was a period when there seemed to be like a new supporters club setting up every, 2 weeks. But I think the majority of that, they've kind of stuck around. I think Scott's right. There was quite a couple that maybe just started up for a bit of popularity, and then they've not really carried on in the same sort of vein that other supporters clubs have. But the majority of it, I think, for the international scene, it's been good. I think it kind of, it is looked at quite sceptical sometimes, because I think sometimes there's the idea that people just want to keep St. Pauli to themselves. From what I've seen of it, the sort of groups that are lasting, they're all making a difference in their own communities, and they're only doing it through the way of Lit St. Pauli. So I think there is a bit of scepticism, and I'm definitely one that shares that as well, but I don't really know what the, you know, you can't stop groups setting up that might not necessarily be there that's giving it 100%. There's no real kind of, I think when the club chose to go to North America on the tour, that kind of maybe opened up the scepticism, I think, because a lot of that tour itself seemed to be more as a marketing thing on, you know, if without digging into it, but from speaking to people involved in the tour, it was more about kind of spreading the message within communities and try to help the communities that they were visiting and stuff. So there is the kind of, there's the two sides to it. So there's not, I don't think there's a definitive we should be sceptical of everyone that gets set up, because a lot of them are still doing quite good.
And you already told us that within you guys, there's some kind of connection, because everything started a little with Yorkshire St. Pauli. Do you already have connections to other chapters, like in North America or other parts of the world?
I think naturally now with social media, it's very easy to be connected to those groups. You know, the ability to communicate across time zones and across oceans allows us as groups to talk to one another and see what one another's doing. And, you know, if they're upholding the values of St. Pauli, we'll support them in upholding the values of St. Pauli. Spread their message. And then it allows us, when it comes to us visiting the Milan Tour, to arrange meeting up with one another and turning those online friendships into real life friendships.
Yeah, I think we're all pretty lucky that we've managed to all get that chance to kind of meet each other in person. You know, it's not just a case of there is groups set up dotted across the world. We've all kind of, I think quite a lot of us are, know each other first name terms through actually meeting up, not just, you know, online chat. So, group chats, anything like that.
Yeah, I always enjoy that as well. So I'm really looking forward not only to meet Gary again, but also to meet other chapter members in the future. Okay. When we go a little further into the sports section, in general, how do you keep track of things happening over here in Hamburg and around the club? Is it just the social media? Do you have people over here that you talk to? Or what is your way of keeping track of what is happening within St. Pauli?
I just follow Gary's tweets now. I take it all for Dave. From our point of view, it's weird, because when we first set up social media and we got involved in Twitter as a group of, I thought one, it almost seemed like one of our main objectives as a group was to keep Twitter updated with what was happening in St. Pauli from an English point of view, and an English language point of view, because there wasn't the official English language account. And I think I spent most of my time when I got home from work on the evening translating the official website to be able to
yeah.
put tweets out as to what were happening. even thinking back, like I was updating it every day when they do the little training updates and who was fit and who was missed training for the day, and I was doing all that, and then thankfully now with the official English account, you don't have to do that, and they've taken over and they do it on now. So
it was appreciated, Scott. Though.
Yeah, and I sort of miss it to an extent, you know. There was something nice about it, but
the days of having to dig for the information is gone.
Yeah,
it is all presented to you, and I guess I'm sure Scott and Gary will echo this. We've all through going out have made friends in Hamburg, who again were able to keep in contact with. In an instant who'll send us updates or let us know of goings on, or you know, even if you're just trying to sort tickets out, you can get in touch with them and say, I can just nip and pick us a ticket for this game up. So yeah, it's not as hard as it used to be when you were sat on the UK St Pauli forums waiting for someone else to post an update because they'd heard a tidbit somewhere.
And it was so quiet on that group at times, you were waiting for 3 days. But it's with so many fan clubs on Twitter and stuff now, you've probably got the same people posting the same stuff all the time. So you can't really fail to miss anything these days in the St Pauli world.
And I think as also kind of information channel, we are all in the international FC St Pauli WhatsApp group, right?
Scott's not. Yeah, I'm not there.
You don't avoid it, do you?
You're not.
I don't tend to use WhatsApp and I don't tend to use Skype. It's a bit like a busman's holiday for me. I find it. If I'm on the WhatsApp group as well, it's just overload. So I'm not on there. But if there's out important, you can always tell me.
Okay.
I'll let Gary tell me anything urgent.
Okay. Okay. When we want to talk about the actual season 2018-19. Gary, what have been your expectations for the season beforehand? Did you think we would be struggling for relegation to third division again, or a comforting midfield, or even the possibility like we have now to get promoted to first division?
I think I've learned if you set your expectations low enough, anything's a bonus. So I'd say where we are just now is out with of anyone's expectations.
But what did you expect?
I expected probably another relegation fight, to be honest. Mm-hmm. There's a few players like kind of standing out. Marvin has been brilliant. I think he has made a big difference. Veerman again was going down that route until the injury. But I think when they two get introduced, there was a sort of glimmer of hope that we might avoid a sort of relegation fight, but I didn't expect us to be sitting where we are.
Scott, what did you think?
To be honest, I, like most seasons, you don't really know you don't really know what's going to happen, and the league tends to throw it in the air even halfway through the season. So even now, I'm still not quite sure what to expect. Whether we're going to actually be contenders to be promoted, or whether we're going to sort of fade away in, you know, 2 days to go in season and we'll be fighting relegation, and I don't know. I've been pleasantly surprised by the stuff that's happened and the way the team's turned around. For some reason this year, I've probably been more relaxed with in terms of watching them than I ever have before. I don't know whether that's just me or whether it's just the situation that I've become used to, where I haven't really got that invested in it, because I don't think there's any real threat of relegation, and I don't really think there's that much hope of promotion. So whatever happens, happens, and I'm just enjoying it, to be honest.
Okay. So whatever happens is just the way it has to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like Gary says, it's quite rare that you actually go to the Millen Tor and see them score or you see them win, so anything's a bonus, really.
Okay. And Dave, what do you think before the season?
I didn't know what to expect before the season, to be honest. Like most people, you just don't. You don't want to second guess it. And then I was stood on the terrace in Berlin, watching us get beat 4-1, and was reaching for the long, hard season klaxon, expecting relegation. And then I was back out for the Cologne game, and when we were 2-0 up, and I thought, I'm finally going to see a home win, and we got beat. And at that point, I'd given up hope and was looking at who was in the third league. So I'm just pleasantly surprised as to where we are and how well we've done. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the style of football we're playing, because it's actually been quite attractive. There's been some nice forward play. We've looked decent at the back, and you know, I actually feel for the first time that maybe not this season, but moving forward, there is the glimmer of hope that we could be a decent football team as opposed to just a decent football club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this was Gary already mentioned that we only signed Marvin Knoll as the yeah, so to speak, only signing in summer, and that the rest of the team stood together and became more and more of a team. So you didn't have to include other characters or players into the team.
Yeah, and that shows in someone like Christopher Avivor, really stepping up. And you know, Lassie Subish was going to be a big loss this season, but actually Avivor is an absolute rock at the back. And last year, I think most of St. Pauli Twitter were cursing him, and
not here we were.
Touch the ball.
No, he's a football god in our eyes.
Massive fan of him.
Yep.
Don't listen to him, Yannick.
But, it's all lies.
Yeah, but the, you know, and we've got young players coming through from, which is always promising to see.
Okay. So we didn't change much in the team, but we changed the coach already last season. What are your thoughts about coach or manager Kalczynski? Gary, you start.
I'm a fan. I like him. I like that he's got the jumper back on as well. Always important. But I think he's turned it round in ways that I don't think anyone expected. He's kind of shown that, again, when Veerman was fit, his decision making was turning around games from a draw into 3 points. I don't think we can ask for anything other from him just now. I think it's the right thing that he is continuing. I'm happy with him.
Okay, Scott, do you agree?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I've got no opinion on him whatsoever. I don't like him. I don't dislike him.
Neutral.
Completely neutral, and I don't know why, but I've just found it hard to have an opinion on him. Unlike every other manager that I've seen at St. Pauli, you know, from Schubert to Vrabek, Leaning, obviously, they've all sort of had something where you've either liked them or you've not agreed with decisions that they've made. And him, I've not really been fussed either way. I've not really invested in him as a manager to the point where I've liked him or I've disliked him, to be honest. When we had that bad run of games at the sort of the halfway through the first half of this season, I thought it was probably time for him to go. And he's proved me wrong since that completely. And the turnaround has been exceptional, and the fact we're not sort of looking down on the teams below us is probably a testament to the job he's done, really, to be honest. But I don't know. Gary's been too nice. Gary likes everyone. I'm too cynical, as you probably guess. So I'm not sure.
Okay, Gary loves him. Scott is neutral. Dave, do you hate him?
No, definitely not.
Dave hates him. Just put that down.
Yeah, no. You can't hate someone who's got us to third in the league and sort of pulled us back round last season. I wouldn't say I love him, but he's got a difficult job in that if you take out half a season, he's really sort of the heir apparent to Ewald Leinen, and that's such a big character to follow that I can get why people are maybe not warming to him, because he doesn't do the Ewald sort of leaning into the crowd and fist bumping. Hasn't endeared himself in that way, but the results speak for themselves, and that's it for me. If we're winning games, and it, as Gary says, he's got the hoodie on. I'm sure I'll come round to love him in that way, but certainly don't hate him.
Okay, yeah, I think if he would do the Evaldin stuff, it would like only be pretending and not. Feel right.
That was a very organic thing. That's very much what Ewald is. Ewald is our club. He was the perfect coach for us, and he's the perfect spokesman for our club. And you can't, if it's not what's really in there, you can't repeat that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that, and I think it's the same when Fabian Ball retired and Marius Ebers retired. Is the players that came in following that era, it was hard to actually develop a sort of a bond with those players as you did when there was that group of players that took us from the third division into the second division and then into the first division, and there was that sort of group that stuck around. And for me, this season has probably been the first season actually taken some sort of affection, is probably the wrong word, with the players, but I've actually found myself actually quite endeared to the players in the way that I was with the players back then, and that's probably not happened since Mihir Saglik left.
To everyone or to special players?
Probably to everyone, and that probably goes back to the fact that you said that none of the players have really left. It's the same group as last year, and you've actually got people who you recognise again rather than just becoming familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we already faced one of two derbies. Have you heard about all the things going on around the game against HSV? Like all the ultra stuff, and then the ultra stealing the choreo from HSV and
at the last game, yeah.
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 It was just, the derby's fierce enough. You don't need to go off and do all that sort of macho stuff. Let them do that, and we'll stick to being the bigger boys and the better boys. And I just hope, because I'm planning to be out for the next one, that we're not faced with the same thing, because it should be a really special day in Hamburg. And I know stories of people who went and after the game were off drinking with HSV fans and had a really good time with them. And just a couple of hundred people feel like they let the side down a bit with it.
Yeah, it's like kind of a current discussion within the German St. Pauli fan scene, because I think you have heard about the fan scene Übersteiger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the people writing that right now are quite let's say not comforted with the behavior of the ultras. So it's like a little of a generation or behavior or like a way of celebrating football discussion, because when we went to the Volkspark, the ultras took over the seats on the upper range, and people who had bought tickets for that seats were told to go away, and there's a lot of discussion going on right now.
I was actually one of them people, Yannick, who had paid the ridiculous English prices for the game, and I ended up actually on the back row, stood on a seat, And like you say, it was a bit awkward at times because there was probably three times as many people in the block as what should have been. But I also sort of think, well, it's a derby. It's the biggest game in years, and at the end of the day, it's a football game. And you know, everyone's got their own ways of supporting, and as long as it's done where it's not affecting people too much. At the end of the day, there was spaces for people to go, and from my perspective, anyway, personally, it wasn't too much of an issue. But I can see why it would have annoyed certain people.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a little of a generation problem, because like the people riding the US Jagger right now are there like for decades to support St. Pauli, and they can't like manage the current way how the derby character is celebrated, and how the whole football support thing is celebrated. But this will take us too far tonight. Any more thoughts on the derby discussion, or shall we go ahead to the things that happened in Winterpause?
Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay. So in Winterpause, we signed Alex Meyer. I think most of you know him already.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So have you been quite happy about it?
Two goals and two friendlies so far.
Sorry?
Two goals and two friendlies. Always got to be optimistic.
Yeah, he scored both test games, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing.
But yeah, I don't think that's a good benchmark, though, because I can name several other strikers who we've had in recent years who have scored in friendlies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, I think
we can only speak so far, though, Scott.
Gary, you're too positive.
I think any sort of experienced striker is always a benefit to any team. The fact he's already been here before, you know, be good as well. I'll need to think up something negative to say, just so that I can...
the big thing is it's a replacement for Veerman.
Yes, exactly.
And we needed someone to fill that gap. A six, sort of a half-season, six-month deal is ideal. Had we signed him for 2 years at 35 years old, I'd have been like, I'm not sure, guys, but 6 months to go and run around Zweite Liga is probably all right for him. And, you know, if he feels there's another year in the tank and he does well for us, let's keep him on.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just not sure if he can replace Fehrmann in the way that Fehrmann played. And now, because he's turning 36 now, right? I don't know if it's enough for a whole back season, but we will see. I think in the first matches we will just place him on the bench and throw him in for the last like 20-15 minutes, and if he scores one or two goals each time that happens, I'm totally fine.
All else fails, we can get Dave to do some man management like he's been doing with Carla recently.
are we putting all his successes down to Manchester, or no?
I think we need to, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll take it.
Put that on your CV, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like we already mentioned, we are on third place now. And if we get promoted, do you think we can deal with Bundesliga, or do you think we will get like it happened the last times that we get relegated again downwards to second Bundesliga again, Gary?
Okay, I'll go the negative one this time. Yes, Scott, you'll love it. I don't think we will. I don't think it's suited for us. Playing the way we're playing, I think it'd be the best, you know, sort of reward for the way that the seasons have turned around the last couple of seasons. But I just don't think we have a squad capable, or a club capable of kind of competing with essentially a modern football environment that I don't think we can. I don't think it's our place. But at the same time, you know, as a football team, you should always be striving to achieve the utmost best. But I just don't think it's right for us at all.
Scott, what do you think?
I completely agree with Gary. I'm not sure it's our place. I'm not sure we're meant to be there. And if we do get there, somehow, I'm not sure we'll survive there. It can be done by smaller clubs, and there have been clubs who have gone up to, and survived there. You know, who have similar budgets and attendances to ourselves. So I don't think it's impossible, but I think we've got to have a structure in place. If we want a structure in place whereby we get the right transfers and we get the right players in that fit within the St. Pauli budget, but also without taking away the St. Pauli ethos as well. So I think it's difficult, but I do think in the last couple of years, St. Pauli has become a lot more of a professional football club in terms of the structure and the way it goes about things. And I think there's a possibility there for it to happen eventually. Do we want it to happen? I'm not sure we do. So if it doesn't happen, I don't think any of us will be too fussed, really.
Dave, what about you?
Again, I echo everything that's been said. Our place is where we are. We're suited to where we are. And it would be a shame to go up and struggle and face relegation as opposed to just having fun, because that's what St. Pauli is. St. Pauli's fun. I wouldn't want to see that taken away by the lights and the glamour of Bundesliga.
What do you think, Yannick?
I don't totally agree with you guys. I think it would be hard playing up there. But I mean, it should always be the plan to move up there, and at least if it's only just for 1 year, the whole benefit you take from it is so much worth the year of struggling, maybe, because like when even if you go back to second division, like we have a bunch of clubs that happened to be like this elevator clubs in the last years, like Freiburg, Nürnberg, Frankfurt. There are several clubs that took benefits from this always being like top 25, being top 18, being top 25, being top 18. So the whole economistic kind of view, it's totally worth it, and I want to support St. Pauli in the big stadiums as well. So I want to go to Dortmund. I want to go to Schalke. I want to go to the other big clubs. Even if it's just for 1 year. Then we go back to second division and we're fine with that, but we profit, like I think it's 5 years that you profit from being in first division for one time, and then we're back there where we have to be, like someone of you said.
Yannick, I think you're quite rare in that opinion in terms of the St. Pauli fans that I tend to speak to would actually prefer, if it wasn't for the financial penalties, they'd actually prefer for us to be relegated to the third division than to go to the Bundesliga. Is that just my outside perspective, or is that quite common across St. Pauli fans?
My point of view?
Yeah, do you think it's shared generally that people would like us to be promoted, or is the majority in favour of us just staying where we are?
I think you have every opinion seen here. You have those people that say it was always better in the past days where we were standing in between the mud, and only a few people were coming to the games, and we were facing like Wacker Burghausen or teams like that. And you have those people that say, okay, yeah, if the chance is there, why not? And the people that are fine with the current situation that we are always, or not always, but every second season or something like that, facing the top ranks in the ladder, and I think every opinion can be found around here.
Yeah.
But we'll see what the next matches will take us to. Okay. Skipping or finishing the sports parts. When we look in the not only the St. Pauli future, but your future as well. So the classic job interview question: where do you see yourself or your fan club and projects in 5 years? We start and like we did in the introduction. Scott will start.
In 5 years' time, I'd quite like to retire. If you can retire as like a fan club member and just become like like an honorary member, where you don't really have to do out, but you can still turn up and people will buy you the odd beer. I'd quite like that, because running as I'm sure the other guys will tell you, running a fan club in your spare time is just a nightmare at the best of times. There's some great benefits to it, and you meet great people and you get to do great things like this podcast, but there's also a lot of hard work and a lot of time that gets spent answering tedious questions or dealing with stupid queries, and it's like a second job, really. So in 5 years' time, I'd like to think that I've stepped back from it after a good 10 years. I've put the spreadsheets down and the emails, and I've stopped doing it, and I can actually just go to St. Pauli as a St. Pauli fan and not worry about all the tickets and all the money and everything else that goes with it. In terms of the fan club, I always feel like the fan club has grown organically from when we first started, and we've just done whatever we felt was right and whatever we wanted to do as a fan club. There's been no limits on what we've done, and we've had a great bunch of people that have taken the fan club in different directions and done what we've done with the fan club. So we've had the fanzine that's not dead in the water, but it raise its ugly head every year or so if we get bored. And you know, the Football for All project just runs itself nowadays. It's like a big snowball that just doesn't stop. And there's other things going on as well, and raising money, and you know, doing good things in the community is always good. And hopefully in 5 years' time that will continue. And hopefully we'll get more members or new members come along as other members who were perhaps there 10 years ago. You know, they put in a transfer request to Manchester or Glasgow and leave us. Hopefully, you know, the fan club keeps going and we keep supporting St. Pauli and we keep spreading the word of St. Pauli, no matter what division we're in or who's managing them or who's playing for them.
Okay. That sounds like you need the people who will run your projects or the projects you started with, that so that you can retire and be a fan club senior.
Yeah, I'll put the job application out on our website in the next couple of weeks and see if we get any interest. Gary, if you fancy a transfer, mate.
You're too depressing.
Okay, same questions to Dave. Where do you see yourself, your fan club, and projects?
Personally, I'd love to be able to speak fluent German within 5 years, so I come out and I can talk to my friends out there.
Have you started yet?
I've started this January, started doing lessons.
Okay, cool.
And I did it in school when I was younger, and I can I can get by, I can order a beer and hold small conversation, but I'd love to be able to go out and those friends who take the time to speak English to me and welcome me, I'd love to just not have them do that. And just keep going out, keep having a good time. I'm not ready for retirement like Scott yet. I've not been in the game as long as him. So keeping helping Manchester St. Pauli grow and keep spreading the word and doing all the good things we have done and making all the great friends we get to make, because that's the best part about this is the people you get to meet and the sorts of conversations you get to have.
Yeah, for sure. Gary, what are your thoughts and plans for the 5 years plan?
I'd like to just see us continue doing the sort of growing the charity work we do. Scott is absolutely right. You know, running a supporters club is exhausting at the best of times, but when you're doing it for the right reasons, out with the football, and you see the difference that it makes, then that's the reason why we kind of keep it going. So continuing like the summer gig we done with United Glasgow, raising money for refugees. And to keep United Glasgow, you know, doing what they do, continue to make that bigger and bigger each year. It's like one of the sort of main focuses for me personally. All the sort of things that we have done in the past, like, you know, we've tried to go down the route of Yorkshire with the football sessions. We'd done that for a while, again, with United Glasgow, but that's kind of fallen away a wee bit. So we'd like to kind of maybe get back into that. We've got a kind of steady calendar of events that we do in Glasgow for raising. A lot of our main sort of stuff is just raising money for charity, and I think that's the sort of direction we want to keep it going. We probably don't need to take on, you know, the sort of numbers of members that Yorkshire have got, because we've got a few members that are out with the Glasgow, but the majority is it's kind of about trying to spread the work a lot more now, so that, you know, we can get a lot more done. It's not just relying on the same sort of four or five people to be doing all the graft. I think if we can continue to achieve, because I mean, Yorkshire are what, seven? You're 7 years now, aren't you? 7 years.
Oh, it's more than that, mate.
Well,
what is it? 2011. No, 8 years. It feels longer. It feels more than 18.
So yeah, we're just obviously still behind him. We're just 3 years, but they were the sort of best blueprint to follow, and they also took from United Glasgow, so it was quite easy for us to then look to see what they're doing, and then look to see how we can sort of pull ranks together and achieve as much as we can, which I think we've done fairly well so far. So just kind of keeping doing that, keep getting out to see St. Pauli. Let Dave teach me some German.
Dave can go to bar for us.
I think maybe if I can grow to be a bit more negative, then there you go. just as long as we continue doing what we're doing, and it becomes something that people still enjoy and people still want to be involved in helping, then I think we'll be satisfied with that.
Okay, cool. So, best wishes to all of your 5 year plans, for sure.
Thanks, Yannick.
Cheers. Yannick, what about yourself in 5 years? What were we saying?
Who are you playing? Manchester, Yorkshire, or Glasgow?
You can. There's a position open up in Yorkshire if you fancy it, Yannick.
I will still be in Hamburg for sure.
You can run it from afar, it's no problem. I mean, you're probably better over there anyway, what with Brexit and everything, you'll be fine.
we got an hour and then you had to bring
us just a bit silly.
No,
I look at the Scott section.
I want to do the podcast and I'm hoping I'm on the on place 1,800 to 2,400 for Dauerkarte at Müllerntor. So maybe in 5 years I will be like 1,000 or 800 or something. And yeah, but we have several plans for our podcast project, and yeah, and I want to do less work that I get paid for, so that I can do more volunteering work. And yeah, and of course stand on Zutcover and support my club.
Perfect. And watch us win in Dortmund.
Sorry?
And you want to watch us win in Dortmund as well.
Yeah, even if it's not in first division, maybe in DFB Pokal final, so we can play international. But we'll see. Okay, I'm quite done with the stuff that I wanted to talk about. Is there anything that you want to discuss, or shall we come to the final happy words?
Scott, Brexit.
Garrett, no, go on, Garrett, it's your, this is your section.
This is your Brexit section, on you go, fill your boots.
No, Dave's the Brexit expert.
Yeah, we just want to say we're sorry, and it wasn't us. I've got one of my friends. Yeah, it's a sore point at the minute, and it's just getting sorer. But yeah, we've got such a good thing going. Why would we do that? But yeah,
there's going to be a super group in Glasgow when you all come up.
Yeah, exactly. We're all moving to Scotland when Scotland breaks away and rejoins Europe and becomes a bastion of European ideals and still has cheap flights and no queues at the border.
Wow, what that would mean that we have to stop in England to get checked and then go further, because we would cross the non-European section.
You just fly straight to Edinburgh.
Yannick, you can do it in 24 hours now as well. So you find, if you need any advice, Gary's your man to ask.
Okay. Now, before we open the political discussion, first of all, thank you guys for your time and the view into your chapters. I don't find another better word for the fan clubs around the world. I think chapters is quite fine.
I like chapters.
Scott, do you have anything that you want to tell our listeners? And in my normal format, I asked my guests if they can recommend anything. It does not have to be a podcast, or it doesn't have to be related to football, but can you recommend anything that people might read or hear or watch?
That's a bit of an open-ended question, that, Yannick. You've stumped me. If you're on Facebook, have a look at the Antifa Public Watch 2. That's the number 2 Facebook page. They've been doing a bit of reconnaissance on us recently, and they think they're big and clever, but they're actually a bit stupid. So if you fancy a bit of a laugh, that's always worth looking at. They've got some pretty funny memes on there occasionally.
So you send us those 2 videos again?
Yeah, I'll send you the videos. So that's Antifa Public Watch 2 on Facebook. And if you just want to message them some rubbish, preferably in German, that'd be brilliant. Okay. But also, if you're ever in Yorkshire, you want to come to a game, or you ever find yourself in summer holidays wanting to play football in Yorkshire, come along. We've got a summer tournament in June, which the Ragazzi are coming over for, and hopefully quite a few of the international fan clubs will be there too. So if there's anyone listening to the podcast and you want to come and play football in England in the summer, we can arrange a little temporary transfer for you. Unless the borders are closed with Brexit, so just get in touch.
That sounds great. And then, shall we go on with Dave?
I echo sort of similar thing to say. If you're ever in Manchester, come hang out. We're nice guys, and we'll talk to you about music or anything all day. It's a great city, and we have a great time. There's one podcast I probably suggest. It's English language, but it gives a great insight into the minds of top footballers is there's recently been one called That Peter Crouch Podcast. I'm sure you all know Peter Crouch, the lanky forward for Stoke and Liverpool.
Yes.
And he's been doing it with a couple of presenters from the BBC, and it's about more than just football. It's about him and his life, but at moments it's very funny, at moments it's very touching, when he talks about his family and the support they gave him and things like that. So I'd recommend that to people, because it is a good view on the mind of a professional footballer.
Okay, and Gary, yours to go.
Recommendation would be for anyone that happens to find themselves in Hamburg with at the same time as Yorkshire St. Pauli, challenge them at darts, because I absolutely shit at it.
Right, let's clarify this. This isn't proper darts. This is them stupid electronic darts, darts that you can't throw properly and don't stick in the dartboard properly. It's not a real game.
I also want to get out there that having been out with Yorkshire St. Pauli and been challenged to table football with them, they're not good at table football either.
That depends who you... See, we're getting a bit of a beating on this podcast, aren't we?
It's because you're too negative, Scott.
Yeah, but at least I'm friendly enough. if you want a game of table tennis, you've got to play Chris. You can't play anyone else because Chris is the champion. And darts, we've been practicing at darts, so if you fancy a rematch, you know where we are.
Absolutely. Podcast-wise, I've been told to drop in. There's a podcast to listen to, which is called Classic Scottish Albums.
Okay.
You may find one of our members on that, Titch. If you look out for a band called Altered Images, there's a few of theirs and there's a few other classic albums on there to listen to, apparently. I don't listen to podcasts. This is the first one I've been involved in or exposed to, so that's just been a recommendation I've been told to drop in.
Okay, my recommendation is for everyone who has Netflix, watch Sunderland Till I Die. It's a, it's a documentary. Why are you laughing?
I would just like to know how that translates to German people. I'd like to get the insight on what people think about it. So if there's anyone who's listening watches it, drop us an email and let us know what you thought, because I'd love to read the reviews.
What's it called?
Sunderland Till I Die.
Right.
And is it eight episodes?
I think I'm on episode 4 or 5. I don't know how many it has, but it's the downfall of a previous famous club.
A big club, a very good club, but that has had its problems. But yeah, I think it's 8 episodes, and some of the stuff in there is absolutely brilliant. It gets better as well as you go on, so it's well worth watching.
Yeah,
Yannick will give it a watch. Cheers.
Sorry?
I'll give it a watch.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. We will finish up this part of the episode. There's still another part to come with the guys from Buffalo, New York, and our brother Canada. Yeah. Again, thank you guys for your time, and maybe we'll see each other at the Minotaur, or in Yorkshire, or in Manchester, or in Glasgow. Thank you.
It was a mess. Sit in your head.
Cheers, Yannick. Cheers, Yannick.
Bye.
Bye.
We have Saturday, January 19th, and it's 3 hours after 19:10, and this is the second part of the Millantor International special episode. In the first part, we talked to guys from Glasgow, Yorkshire, and Manchester, and now it's time to spread over the world to Canada, New York, and Buffalo. So we start with those ones I haven't talked. I've talked before, and from a high-tech studio high above the secret underground bunker, deep underneath the perilous layer of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Welcome to Sam Manta and Sean.
Well done, sir.
I'm
a little proud of myself.
Yeah, I think you did it better than Sean does it.
3 years of practice, I still screw it up. Just
I read it from the screen, to be honest. So, hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Okay.
Thanks for having us.
Like I said, we talked before in some episodes, but to those ones in the listenership who haven't heard of you before, just introduce yourself in some sentences. Who are you? What are you doing? And why FC St. Pauli?
Well, I'm Sean.
I'm Samantha.
And we host and produce Fell in Love with a Girl, an FC St. Pauli podcast, 7,000 kilometers removed, based in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. That's why we're 7,000 kilometers away. I started following St. Pauli and dragged Samantha along for the ride, and now we're both hooked. And when we started following the club, we thought, oh, there's bound to be an English language podcast, and discovered that there wasn't one. And me being a little too ambitious for my own good, I decided to start one with zero podcasting experience, and now we're here.
Okay. When I talked to those guys from UK, they told me they have some spots to watch the games. I think with all the time lag you have to deal with, you don't have the a bar or a spot where you go that just want to watch it by St. Pauli TV, right?
Yeah, typically we don't have far to go. We just go to our living room, log in, watch the game. Although it would be cool to have some public viewing sometime. We'll see.
But we have that delayed life where we have to be able to coordinate when we have time to watch the match without having too many spoilers. Just because, yeah, so midweek games are always during our work day, and then games on the weekends are, I'd rather be sleeping because they're usually on at 5 o'clock in the morning for us. So,
okay. Yeah, and then we go on to New York. I think some of our listeners have already heard your voice, Sean.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes.
You made an episode with Mike, who's also part of the Millantor team. But again, to those who haven't heard of you, same introduction and same questions to you.
Yeah, of course. I'm Sean, and I'm one of the people who coordinates stuff for FC St. Pauli New York City, the East River Pirates. I discovered the club through a friend of mine and just sort of fell in love with the community that we have here in New York around it. We just celebrated our 10th anniversary, so that's very exciting. And thank you very much. And we meet up every match day at the East River Bar for a delayed screening with FC St. Pauli TV. Like Sean and Samantha were saying, it's a little early in the morning or during the workday most games, but we have a good tradition of watching them delayed over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. Since Sean and Samantha are watching them mostly by themselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys are coming to the East River Bar?
Yeah, it depends a lot on the game and on the day. We get a lot less in February than we do in October, you know. But we've got probably 20 people locally who come pretty regularly. And then one of the great things about being in a place that so many people like to travel and visit, we have visitors from Hamburg, from all around the world, almost every week. So sometimes we'll have 40 people there, and it'll only be maybe 8 people who are local, and then maybe a whole bunch who are visiting from out of town. So we're able to have a really good atmosphere there in the bar, and people really enjoy we love having visitors, and everybody seems to have a really great time.
Yeah, you really talk much about that in the podcast with Mike, and you also also had a short audio file from podcasting, from recording live in the bar. So for everyone who wants to know more about how is it like to watch the game at the East River Bar, we will also link the podcast that has recently been published. Okay, we go on to a new voice in the Melanzone. Welcome to Ernie from Buffalo.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor.
Yeah, it's cool that you're with us. Would you also introduce yourself? Who are you? What are you doing? And how do you became a Sampoli supporter?
Sure. I'm Ernie. I'm the founder of St. Pauli Buffalo up here in beautiful Buffalo, New York. We are in our second year as a supporters club. Our first is an official supporters club, so it's fun. It still feels new. How I kind of came to be a international supporter. I grew up in the punk rock scene, and I remember one wonderful day, someone was wearing the Totenkampf t-shirt at a show, and I had no idea who St. Pauli were at that moment. But I was the kind of person who would see a band t-shirt, and I would go home and I would look up the band. So I went home expecting to find this punk band, and it turns out I found a football club. And it didn't take long to pick up every piece of information I could and to fall in love with the club. And that was, I was 16, I think, so 14 or 15 years ago now. And at the time, there wasn't as much information, especially in English, as there is now. So I picked up everything I could, and I followed the club from afar. And over the past two or three years, it's become much easier as an English speaker to gain access to information. And so I've ramped things up and started a supporter club here in Buffalo, and it's taken off.
Okay. I think Sean and Samantha want to say something.
It's funny how when you discover the club, there is a bit of homework to be done to get into the club. Yeah, especially as an English language supporter.
Yeah, the way Ernie explained is a little similar to my way, how I became a St. Pauli fan, because I also grew up in the punk rock and hardcore scene. But the way you guys have to pick up information is a little like maybe the supporters in the early 90s or mid 90s had to find out information about other clubs, like from fanzines or from regularly published other articles or something. So it's like I think it's kind of hard to find information from abroad.
Yeah, I was really lucky when I first got into the club. It was right around the same time that Nick Davidson came to New York he was visiting a university on Long Island for some sort of panel discussion that he was on. And so he came to the East River Bar and had a bunch of copies of his books. And so it's only I don't know, maybe the first couple of months that I had been around, and I had a signed copy of Nick's book, and I took it home and read it, and that's, you get the whole history and a lot of good information to start off being a fan.
Yeah, but we weren't finished with Ernie's introduction. How do you manage to watch the games, or do you do it by yourself, or how many guys of you are there?
Yeah, so similar to New York City, we watch everything delayed. We watch on St. Pauli TV. We have a local bar here called Meske, and they show every match from every club. And so it's one of those places where you can walk in there any time of the day and run into a match. And so it only fit for us to also show our matches there. So we actually run on a very similar schedule to New York City, similar time frame. So sometimes, even if we have to avoid social media, the same schedule as us. And we do have about 10 or so regular members who come along. Similar to New York, in the winter days of January and February, sometimes it drops down a few. But we get a good turnout all year. We had our 1 year anniversary party in August, and we had something like 30 show up. So we're slowly growing our numbers, and we're getting up there, and we're showing Buffalo who St. Pauli is.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, when we go on a little further from not only your in the last episode, I called it chapters. I don't know if you're fine with this term. Like, okay, we have like chapters now in Manchester, in Yorkshire, in Glasgow, in Liverpool, in Buffalo, in New York, in Canada. I know that some of you are already connected, and I know that Sean and Samantha and Sean know themselves in person. And then I know, have you met one of them, those guys too, Ernie?
I have met everyone on this call right now.
Okay. I've met Sean. Except for me.
except for you. I actually met Sean, I think for the first time, it was the day after my wedding.
It was,
The morning after I was married, me and my wife, we got married outside of New York. We hopped on a train and we headed to the East River Bar. We watched a match with the East River Pirates. It was a way to start off my honeymoon.
That's a way to start a honeymoon.
It was wonderful. And I had the honor of meeting Canadian Sean and Samantha in Detroit when the club came over to play Detroit City. So I've had the opportunity to meet them, all three of them.
Oh, really cool. Okay, that's a way to divide yourself, Canadian Sean and New York Sean.
And we've had everyone in this call on the podcast. Ernie and Sean have both been guest co-hosts in the past. Not that long ago, in fact, when Samantha went to Morocco in November. Sean and Ernie were kind enough to fill in along with Josh Duder, who is part of the Portland St. Pauli Supporters Club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's quite a good connection within the Nordamerika Kurve.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, cool. But in general, what do you think about this whole bunch of chapters popping up everywhere in South America, Asia, no matter where? Let's start with Sean from New York.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting to see it spreading. I think obviously there's a huge appeal to the ideals of the club with the political situation in so much of the world right now. You know, it's been great to see so many groups sort of popping up around our area, around, you know, the U.S. and Canada generally. We were able to make a connection a little bit with some of the guys in Mexico who have also had a supporters group for a long time. I mean, it's a way to connect with people all over the world. You know, you meet somebody from the St. Pauli fan club in whatever city, and you know that you're going to have some things in common and be sort of like-minded people.
Canadian Sean and Samantha?
I think Sean very much eloquently put how I feel about all the chapters popping up in such a dark time for our political landscape around the world. It's great to see these little glimmers of hope with all of these chapters popping up, because as Sean said, we all know that at least we have a few common and very important values that are the same, and you know that you can at least connect with them on that same level and know that there's a safe place to go.
Okay. Ernie, what do you think?
I agree with everything being said, and I think we're at this interesting time where we are seeing all of these clubs popping up, you know, more and more chapters popping up, and I think sometimes there's a sentiment of are they following this club for the right reasons and things like that. And I think we still have this nice, even amongst this large international community, it still feels very tight-knit. When a new club pops up, we always, you know, one of us will reach out, they'll reach out, and we're all kind of in constant contact with one another. And it's been amazing to see that worldwide, everyone is coming to support this club for the same reasons, because we all agree on so many of these things. So it's just been, for me, it's just been amazing to see the chapters popping up and to meet all these people and to get the opportunity to say I have friends from around the world because of a second league football club in Germany. So
uh-huh. Yeah, it's a little different a little further information because I already talked to the UK guys. They were a little more skeptic because when a new chapter pops up, they check first, are they really going in there because of the spirit or of the whole idea of St. Paul, or is it just like, the Totenkopf is cool, and there's some fancy club, and we just want to be part of it. But Sean wants to talk about that too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for one thing, I think that is something that the people in the UK have a bigger concern for them, because you have, I think it's easier to sort of have bandwagon fans or people who are Celtic fans, so they're St. Pauli fans, but are they the sort of people who have the same, you know, mentality that you do, or have the same commitment to what this fan club is going to be about? And in a country like the US or like Canada, the soccer supporting community is so much smaller. It is kind of a niche thing. And what you end up finding, and particularly, I mean, I'm, you know, for the most part, people are looking at the Premier League, or they're looking at MLS, or they're looking at the La Liga, you know. So if you're finding your way to a second division German team, you've probably found your way there through politics or through the punk scene. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little bit, you know, I mean, I think we do look out for that, for, you know, making sure that people are in it for the right reasons. But I think it's more, we don't have to be quite as worried about it as the UK does.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're like, okay, you have to look from where the chapters come, and what their actual reason might be why they want to be part of this, even more and more growing family, international family of St. Pauli supporters. Okay. When we go a little bit into the sports section, what have been your expectations before the current season? Sean, you already had the word. Would you like to go on?
I don't know. I mean, as we sort of talked about in the other conversation that we had with Mike, I don't know. We're not the most, I guess, sports forward fan club. So maybe some other people would be better to speak to that. I think every year I go into the season just hoping that there won't be too much of a relegation struggle.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think going into this year, kind of the way things ended last year was a bit worrisome. It felt like we slid at the end of the season. And thankfully, we were able to avoid relegation at the end there. But things were scary for a while. So I think there was a bit of apprehension going into the season. As we can see, you know, maybe that apprehension wasn't necessary, or you know, I was a little bit more worried than I needed to be. But you know, before that first match, yeah, I was scared. I'll be honest.
I'm always more worried than I have to be. Canada, what do you think?
I think the way that we ended the season is a huge factor on how we kind of expected the season to turn out. I tend to be a little more optimistic than Samantha. And, you know, I am always hoping for a mid-table finish. And I think last season ended, we ended up higher on the table than we had any reasonable expectation to. But this season, I mean, we've had some really savvy signings by Uwe Stover in terms of our on-field personnel. And Marvin Knoll has been a great signing. And even though we've just lost him, Henk Veerman was an absolute stroke of genius. When we first signed him, I looked at his statistics and thought, okay, well, why'd we sign this guy? He looks okay, I guess. And he's been a catalyst on the front line for us.
Okay, now you're already skipping ahead to the next part of our discussion. Yeah, no problem. Ernie, what do you think? Was it a good idea to, like, make only make a few changes in the team before the season. Just like Sean mentioned, Fairman coming, Knoll coming, but the rest of the team was quite staying the same.
In the moment, I think I was apprehensive. In retrospect, I while we didn't make a huge number of signings, they were crucial and they've paid off, more than I expected. At the time, I thought, hey, we only made a few small signings, but I think in retrospect, everything makes more sense in retrospect. You can explain it away. So yeah.
Okay, Sean from New York, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how much I was paying attention sort of at the beginning of the season, looking at I think one of the nice things was at the end of the last season, there was a real push that got us out of that relegation. And I think they did a good job of holding on to that sort of spirit at the end of the season to jump right into the beginning of the next season. A lot of early successes really set us up in the right place. And that was sort of the problem last season, that it wasn't that we were playing so horribly. It's just that we got off on a really bad start and had a hard time picking it back up again. So it's nice to feel like we can go into the second half of this season with some confidence.
So you mean we should just forget about the 3-on-5 to Cologne?
Yeah. Yes. That part we're just going to completely forget about. And yeah.
Speaking of bad starts. because it was right after the first round in DFB Pokal, DFB Trophy, where we also lost against a club from third division. I think at that time of the season, I was just like, okay, where's this going? And then we kept ourselves together and made some at least deuces,
mm-hmm.
and some lucky wins. That you have to have if you want to be top 5 or 6 in the league. And yeah, we will see where this is going. Yeah, already a season before, we changed the coach to Gauchinski because we had this, Sean already mentioned, this bad start with the big losses against Bielefeld and Fürth. What is your impression since he's already... Yes, it's more than a year now, right? Should be. I think it was at the end of 2017 when he came. What are your impressions so far, Sean?
Oh, sorry, that was to me.
No matter who.
Okay, I'll jump in then. I think when we last talked to you with Mike, or actually the time we talked to you and Mike, I think Kaczynski was newly appointed, and it was fairly early in his tenure. You guys, if memory serves, had some reservations and felt like he was still too strongly associated with Ingolstadt to be a St. Pauli manager. And I think he's gotten the best out of our club so far and our player personnel. I think Samantha might agree with me on this one, but he makes very sound choices. He manages a very pragmatic game of football, and he's very results oriented. He's not necessarily the most glamorous or sexiest coach in anyone's technical area, but at the end of the day, he really gets the job done, as our position on the table right now kind of shows. I don't know if
kind of
Samantha has anything to add here.
Well, and kind of going back a little bit to the last question, I thought at the end of last season, well, to use a saying that I really dislike, a football match being a game of two halves, I really look at our season as a season of two halves, and we always end up being completely different in the first part of the season than we do in the second part. But Kaczynski, I think, at this point has settled. I think he's making some really good decisions. And as Sean said, he's not playing sexy football. Like 4-4-2 formation is not sexy football. Thank you, England. But it's but it's consistent. We're getting results. We're gelling as a team. And I don't think we saw us really being cohesive as a team last season as a part to this season. I feel like we just interact much better together on the pitch, and I think Kaczynski is a deep part of that.
Yeah, and we were the victims of our own success in 15-16, and we saw the nucleus of the team getting gutted. And then it's taken two very long seasons to put it all back together again and build that cohesion and that gel between all of our player personnel as we rebuild that team. And we're actually doing better now than we were then, which is impressive.
Yeah, that builds like a golden bridge to the next topic I want to discuss, because like, Ernie, are you afraid if we don't succeed in this season, like with at least to face relegation or promotion games to the first division, we might face the same thing that happened to us in 15-16, that many valuable players will leave the club. Are you afraid of this?
I feel like we're in a situation where, you know, there are going to be players who, you know, who want to go for bigger and better, you know, greener pastures elsewhere. And I think it's maybe this is, you know, that feeling is part and parcel of playing in the second league. I'm personally someone who likes where we are. I like being a mid-table second league club. Part of me thinks that maybe that comes with the territory, that there are going to be these players who get picked up by bigger clubs, who move up to the first league, who go away. And so I think it's always a little bit of a fear. But I think it's a fear that we have to kind of live with and work with what we have and live in the moment and enjoy the club in the moment. So for right now, in this exact moment, I'm loving this team. And yeah, it's not always the sexiest, but there are some players on this team that I've kind of fallen for. And so I'm just living, I try to live, you know, season to season and not worry too much about the future, because there's always that possibility that player you love gets plucked away to go play for the big guys.
Okay. Sean from New York, are you also like a Carpe Diem kind of guy? Or?
I mean, I think I agree with Ernie. But on the other hand, I mean, I think we did lose some good players between last season and this season. I mean, in particular, thinking about Lasse Zobi, who we were sort of, when he was gone, it was like, oh no, what is our defense going to do? Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've managed to fill that in and it looks like we're not missing him too much, though we'll see now that we've got injuries going into the next half of the season. But yeah, I think, you know, you play with the team you have, so you have to do the best with what we can.
Yeah, speaking of the team we have, Samantha, we lost Bernd Nierich in the winter pause. How much did you cry?
I would say tears of joy or tears of sadness. To be honest, I wasn't entirely surprised. Yeah, maybe a little bit of both, because he has been my man of the match. I'm not all
I know.
All harsh on poor Nierich. But I do think it was the right choice. I think there was probably too much of a clash going on behind the scenes, and he was feeling a little bit left out. So I think it's the best choice to keep that morale. Like, I don't want somebody who's unhappy to be at the club and to spread unhappiness to the rest of the players. So I'm fine with it.
But isn't it
at peace?
Isn't it interesting though that he's gone to Eintracht Braunschweig, who are
20th.
At the bottom of the third division?
Well, as long as he's going to get playing time, being at the bottom of the third division.
Like, that just seems like such a strange choice on his part. Or his agent's
yeah, at least if I can interrupt there, at least what you can read from the sports magazines here, that Braunschweig decided to I think they made eight new signings in Winterpause, and so they're building up a new, totally new core of the team, and Bernd is totally one of the parts that should take a leading role in this totally new team that should kick them out of this miserable situation. So from a sportive kind of view perspective, he totally made a good choice that he goes to a club where he can play more and can take a leading role. But if you ask any St. Pauli supporter, at least here in Hamburg, why Eintracht Braunschweig? The only worst club would have been Dresden. So it's like.
And we've already had our losses going yeah. there with yeah. Sorry Gunther.
And what happened to him there? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Coming back to the current season, we already had one derby. Sean from New York, what are your thoughts? How did you follow the game itself and especially everything that happened around it?
Yeah, we did. Actually, we were, it's the only game we've ever done in New York that I've gotten to watch live because the amazing Ian Joy, who works at Fox Sports doing Bundesliga, he convinced Fox Sports to carry the match live. It wasn't a very busy day that day, I guess, for other things. But so it was available to watch live in the US. And
oh, wow.
So, yeah, so a friend of mine and I, everybody in our club wanted to still like have a party and do it in the evening. So a couple of us met at a bar in Midtown at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch the, so we're just sitting there in this empty bar with coffee and being grumpy at the screen.
Coffee for football, yeah.
Yeah. But then we did, we actually did have a really lovely big party for the actual game later on that day. We had a lot of food and there were tons of people there. I think we had probably 40 or 50 people, a lot of visitors from out of town. And it was just a really, it was a really great time. So we, you know, we watched a lot of the lead up to it, of course, and have a lot of friends who are in Hamburg. So we're sort of, you know, hoping that everybody was safe and there wasn't too much nonsense around the game, but it seemed like everybody had a good time. And we just, you know, wish that last second, goal attempt had gone in.
yeah, I think it was Shaheen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he could have written himself in the history books of the club.
I know.
And he probably would have built up a statue for him or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so if it was reported live, Ernie, did you watch it live too?
So I'll be quick with this, but interesting. I was not in Buffalo when that game happened. I was actually in Wisconsin at an American football game. The rest of our club in Buffalo did watch, and they watched live. And there was, I think, 7 or 8 people at the bar, just them and one bartender, our regular bar. And here in Buffalo, you can't serve alcohol that early in the morning. So they were just drinking coffee and eating breakfast and watching the match. Meanwhile, I was, hundreds of miles away at an American football game, standing in a field, drinking beer, eating sausages, and watching the game on my phone. And every time something happened, I would start screaming. And all of these American football fans around me kept looking over, like, "What are you doing? What are you watching? And why?" But I didn't care. I was glued to that phone for that time. So I watched live as well, just removed from the rest of our group.
Okay, now we have to know which American football game you watched.
It was the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
It was – I'm not a huge American football fan, but there are certain places that have historical importance that I like to see. The Green Bay Packers are just an interesting club, and I wanted to see their home. So I made the trip there.
An away game with the – with the Buffalo football team.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. But speaking of, maybe we can just put this in here. You talked to me earlier before we started this recording. Speaking of teams from Buffalo, there's something that is going to happen in May between a Buffalo team and a Hamburg team. You want to talk about it?
Yes, I would love to. So a few months ago, it was announced that our local club here in Buffalo, FC Buffalo, they play in the fourth division here in the U.S., the NPSL. They play in the same league as Detroit City FC, if many people are familiar with them. And FC Buffalo will be heading over to Hamburg to play a few matches, and one of them is going to be with the U23, with the second club, on May 8th. And so we have a contingent of folks from Buffalo who are heading over to support our local club in Hamburg. And we, you know, the St. Pauli supporters here in Buffalo are also using it as a trip over for us. So it will be our first trip as a group heading over to Millantor. It'll be my second trip ever heading over to Millantor to support the club. So we will be over for that match on May 8th, as well as the last home match of the season on the 12th. Against Bochum.
It's a really, really great thing that this could happen. I think. Do you have any background information how the contact became or?
So interesting enough, there is it's called the Sister Cities Partnership, where cities from around the world are paired up with one another.
Oh, okay.
And Buffalo's sister city is actually Dortmund. And last year, I think the 40th anniversary of our sister city partnership, the Lord Mayor of Dortmund was in Buffalo, and he invited FC Buffalo to Germany. He said, you should come over and play a club in Germany. And so in the planning of that trip, St. Pauli reached out to FC Buffalo and mentioned that they knew about the Buffalo supporters group and they knew about, you know, what we were doing here, and invited them to come play the second club. So it was a little bit or a lot of it to do with what we're doing, getting ourselves on the radar of the club and then them reaching out to FC Buffalo to make that connection happen. So it was a very proud moment for me.
Yeah, really, really great. And I mean, okay, of course, the what you call it, the cherry on the... on the cake would have been if they would have faced the first team, but I think the game against the U23 is also a really, really great moment. And
I think if they were to play the first club, they would get slapped in the face. I'll go. It would be a complete blowout. And also, it's in the middle of the season, and as a fan of both clubs, I do not want. I do not want the first squad playing a friendly, even if it is against my club here in Buffalo. I do not want them, you know, playing if they don't need to. So I think this works out perfectly for everything.
Okay. Yeah, really looking forward. Do you know where the game is situated?
They haven't announced it yet, so I'm not sure. But the minute it's known, I'll be posting it on our Twitter and everywhere else, spreading the word and hopefully getting some folks out to you know.
Okay. Because normally the U23 is playing in Norderstedt, which is already outside of Hamburg.
Yes.
And
I got to drive past it during my last trip.
This is quite far outside. I mean, for me, it's not that far. I lived by like three or four subway stations away from that. But for me, it's still Hamburg. But Norderstedt is not Hamburg. And I would wish that the club could find a venue that is more central, so that more fans and supporters find their way, because the games of the U23 are very, very poorly visited, and I don't know if a friendly against a fourth league American team, as cool as it is, gets more people out to Norderstedt. So I hope that they find a local place here, and even if it's only the artificial grounds behind the stadium, like the Kunstrasen.
Here's hoping. Maybe I'll have to call in some favors and bribe a few people to get it a little bit closer to St. Pauli.
Yeah. Okay. So we learned that Ernie has already made it one time over. Sean from New York, have you made it over here since now?
I have actually. The Ernie came along with us. The New York City supporters group did a group trip last year for the Union Berlin game in April. Uh-huh. But then I've been by myself a couple of times before that.
Okay.
And I'm planning an upcoming I'm going to be there for the Derby in March.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah.
So I know that from the UK guys that if you multiply or add the prices from the flight and the ticket, it's even cheaper than to go to a Premier League game. But what do you have to pay to just to see a Sao Pauli match from if you're flying over from New York?
Oh gosh, I feel like usually if you can get plane tickets that are around maybe $700 or $800 round trip, and we're lucky in New York because New York is a hub airport and it's on the East Coast. So I don't know what Sean and Samantha are looking at for plane tickets from where they are, but I feel like I can usually get tickets to somewhere in the vicinity of Hamburg for something like $800 or so round trip.
So towards and back.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I hope you just don't go for the match, but you just spend some days or weeks to see Hamburg.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. I had a job for a little while where I could take a few weeks off in the summer, so I did a couple of long trips to Germany, and I've got to spend a week or so at a time in Hamburg. We have the New York group has a lot of people who come from Germany and from the Hamburg area who come to New York maybe for a few months to work or a few weeks. The other people who talked to Mike when we did the podcast before, Miriam and Martin are both from Germany, and we have a lot of people there. And we've had quite a few who have moved back and forth in the last few years. So we have a bunch of former members who live in Hamburg. So it's always nice to visit and get to see them, and they take good care of us while we're there. So it's it's just like visiting friends. It's a really wonderful. It's a wonderful trip to make.
Cool. And Samantha and Sean, what I know that you have some plans for spring. That was my last information.
No. I had the audacity of finishing off my master's degree, and I would like to go to my school is based out of Edinburgh, UK. So I really want to go to my graduation since I work so hard to get this stupid thing done. So that might take precedence, but we'll see. Because tickets for us is over to Hamburg are about $1,200, depending on, so, right there we're $2,500 for two people to go over, not including accommodation and food and whatnot. So.
Yeah, I see.
Maybe in the winter so we can go to like some of the Christmas markets and all that fun stuff too.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're hoping that maybe not this season but next season the team will come again to North America and then you can have a good time there.
Woo. Well, we definitely want that to happen again. Yes. We really want to go to watch a match or two or three.
Yeah, we need to go to the hallowed ground.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah, I listened to the podcast that you did with Ben van Gelder and now the other name is lost.
Christian Preuss.
Yes. So there was a little shiny hope at the horizon that the team might come back in the further future.
Well, it sounds not so much like a chance as more of an inevitability. It just depends on the timing and whether or not it's going to be either a World Cup or a European Championship year. So every other year, it sounds like there are at least intermediary plans to do some sort of tour.
Yeah.
And finding the right partners to do it with.
Yes.
Right, because it's not like they don't want to play against just anybody.
Yeah.
Right. So and I think I appreciate that they want to find somebody, or it seems that they want to find somebody whose values are at least in the neighborhood of St. Pauli values to play against, as opposed to just any old team.
Yeah, we'll see. I think maybe they will just skip the American part this year, FC United of Manchester or clubs like that are also like a really, really like a cool place to go to show themselves to the supporters over there.
Absolutely. That would be so cool. There's so many really interesting clubs there that have that same kind of you know, independent and left-wing side. And we had such a great time when the team came over last year. You know, we really hope that everybody gets to have that really amazing experience the way we did.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope for the guys from Yorkshire that they could have the team over and maybe like do a little football for all with some guys of the team. Yeah,
that would be wonderful. They do such amazing work there. You know, they really deserve as much recognition and fun stuff as the team can throw at them.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure to talk to Scott in the first part of the recording. Yeah, finishing the sportive part of this talk. We already talked about one loss in the winter pause, but we haven't talked about the signing of Alex Meyer so far. What are your thoughts on him, and can he replace Fehmarn as long as he's injured? Ernie, do you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. I think I'm an intermediary here between Sean and Sean as far as being into the sport, you know, the sporting side of things. I think from my standpoint, I'm excited. I don't know a ton about the football god himself. I know he's a little bit older. He's probably towards the end of his career. 36. So I think there's that concern of like, can he replace Vehrman? You know, can he fill this giant, you know, spot in our lineup. And I think I'm apprehensively looking forward to seeing it. I think at his base, he probably is more skilled than Vehrman, but he likely has, you know, less pace and does he have the endurance to last through an entire match? So I'm excited. I'm excited to see him step on the pitch that first match back and see if he can, you know, fill in for Vehrman, who, while new, I think he endeared himself to all of us. So I think he's got big shoes to fill, which is weird to say about someone who's been in the league so long and someone of such a big name.
Okay. So, Canada Sean, do you agree?
Well, you know, I don't have any sort of sentimental attachment to Alex Meyer because his time with the club was before I had discovered, let alone started following the club. So I come in a little more reserved. I'm not sure what to expect. I know there's a lot of excitement around him and his signing for the year, but personally, I don't know. I'm waiting to see what happens on the pitch.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, I mean, he scored in the first two test games in the training camp. So this is a little hint that he has not forgotten everything.
I think this is the one time I'm probably a little bit more optimistic than Sean, where I think that because he's so experienced, I think he'll bring a good level of skill, and I think he brings a level of maturity that I think Vehrman has. Don't get me wrong, but I think with him being out, Meyer is going to bring that. I think going to bring our game up a little bit. So I'm excited. I think that he's going to be a good addition, and I think it's good for him so he can continue playing his career, and maybe, you know, since he was with us, and he can finish his career with us, and that would be nice, I think, for him to end it that way.
Yeah, at least his sports career, right? I think he's already, because we had many congratulations from the Eintracht Frankfurt side when the signing was announced, because that he's a football god over there too, and I think his after sports career will end in Frankfurt, because this is like. Yeah, he spent, I think, 13 years over there, and he will do his last games or last years on the pitch with us, and then he will go over to Frankfurt and like do sports manager or youth coach or something like that.
It'll be interesting to see how his introduction into the side affects Sammy Alagui and Demi Diamantakos as well, because we haven't seen Demi on the pitch a whole lot. And throughout the season, we've been complaining with the best complaint we've ever had is we have so many talented strikers. What do we do with them all? So it'll be interesting if Meyer supplants some of our other options.
Yeah, I don't think that he will go from the start in the first games. I think he will just like sit on the bench for like 60-70 minutes, and then get in for the striker that whoever was on the pitch from the first minute. But I don't think that it's bad that we have such a bunch of strikers there, because like they're struggling against each other and want to get first position, and yeah, we will see. And Sammy can also play not the first striker but like little behind the regular striker, so he will get his play time as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last sportive question. Ernie has already said that he is quite fine with the place where we are. Sean, would you agree? Sean from New York, would you agree that we are fine at second Bundesliga, or do you want to use the chance to get up to first division since we are already on third?
I mean, I'm perfectly happy with them staying as a second division club. I think that's a really great place for them, and I think it's where they can do good work and build the culture there. And like everybody else, you know, I'm worried that if they get promoted, then that's going to be a flood of bandwagon fans, and that it's also, you know, hard to work out the financial thing. And if they just go up for one season and then get relegated immediately again, you know, if what happens to that, if it ends up just like wreaking a lot of financial havoc on the club, that's not good. On the other hand, if they can finish above HSV this season, that would be very cool.
Okay, I don't see that coming, but
okay. Well, I can always hope. You can always dream.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Samantha, what do you think? Do you want to stay in second division, or do you want to use the chance?
I think I've got mixed feelings on it. In some ways, it would be nice to be in first league, and for the reasons of it would be nice to be able to share and spread our message, like our left-wing punk mentality, with everyone and get a little bit more excitement from a North American perspective. Get more North American fans involved, because second division is just a little bit out of touch or like out of reach for most fans in North America. That being said, there are so many things that I have problems with being in first division, money being one of it. Two, what do we have to sacrifice to be in there? But I think if I think our backroom staff is solid enough that if we do go up, I think they would make some smart decisions and make good enough trades that we would maybe be able to hang on with our teeth at least and not necessarily bounce right back down. Mm-hmm. But I also love the yo-yo of being potentially relegated. I think I'm the only one who loves it, but I love it. I love that anxiety. It's my great. Heart can't take it. Oh, but it's so good.
Yeah, I think... I also already mentioned to the guys from UK that like this, even if it's only 1 year, because it has always been 1 year. If we got up to first division, we got relegated afterwards. But you can have so much income from this 1 year that it's totally worth it. Like, it's only for the fans only to go to the big stadiums and face Dortmund, Bayern, Schalke. It's like 1 year of celebration. But Ernie wanted to add something to this.
Yeah, it's funny you say. I kind of wanted to add on to what you were just saying. Two things, but one is that. I think that we're strong enough in our ideals that I think if we were to go up to the first league, I don't think we would lose everything we stand for, you know, everything we believe in. But I think it would sometimes it may be good to put a little bit of money in the coffers and to refresh the bank a touch, as awful as that sounds to say. I really believe in the things this club does, and I think they do good with the funds they do have, and so it wouldn't be the worst thing in that sense. And on the other hand, you know, we have a pretty tight-knit football community here in Buffalo, and the opportunity to do some collaborations or, you know, get to some heated rivalries with some of the other supporters groups here in Buffalo would be very biased, but it would be a cool opportunity to be able to go out and boo and cheer against the Dortmund and the Bayern supporters and the other big clubs who have, you know, some supporter clubs here in Buffalo. So I'm a very, very biased. It would be cool, but I am always perfectly happy where we are. But I see many benefits in both scenarios.
Okay. Anyone wants to add something to this topic?
Well, and I think we have to reconcile the fact that the club front office has the ambition of playing top-tier football. So I think it's an inevitability that they're going to push for that. If I've got my timelines correct, like, we should be able to benefit more from the increased revenue, a very dirty word for a club, I know. But, you know, I think we would make the most of the experience, even if we didn't stay up. I think we'd benefit from it.
Yeah, totally. I think we wouldn't suffer. So, if you do it fine, if we are, if we accept our position that we would like it's the same with Nuremberg and Düsseldorf this year. They know where they come from, and they know that they possibly or probably will directly go down again. Yeah, and if you don't push money into the team that you don't have because you think, yeah, we're playing first division now, and if you're like the club did in the recent years, the economy reports show that we in comparison to the HSV made a good a business plan and made a profit every year. If you're going well into the first division and with a fine business plan, then it could work out as well.
Plan for the best, prepare for the worst.
Yes, but I think economy is not our topic tonight. I think we're totally lost in this field. But I would if anyone has something on the sportive side. Otherwise, I would finish this part. Okay. Then we like, okay, the next question is including the FC St. Pauli in a little part, but mainly the question is, like, in a classic job interview, where do you see yourself, your fan club or supporters group, and the FC St. Pauli in 5 years? Ernie, you start.
Sure. I hope in 5 years I am telling people that we are in our 6.5 year. I just want to keep pushing with what we're doing. We're still new. And so over the next few years, I plan to try to find more local charities that we can help and more people in our community that we can spread the views of the club to, and we can help in any way we can. We have some things going on now, and I want to continue those, and I want to keep expanding outward and just bring the ethos of the club to Buffalo, because that's why we started this, and that's once if that ever goes away, there'll be no reason to keep meeting with the group. I think my big concern is how do we bring, you know, everything that's amazing about St. Pauli to Buffalo.
Sean from New York.
Yeah, I'm what I said with Mike as well, because we talked about this a little bit. I mean, I think
I kind of copied that question.
That's okay. You know, I think the biggest thing that I want to do is I'm sort of similar to Ernie. I just want to keep growing. Like I said, we have a lot of people who come back and forth between Germany and the U.S., and we've had a lot of really very active members who've moved back to Germany in the last couple of years. We still have a lot of great people and there's still a lot going on, but I'd love to bring in even more and to spread that word a little bit more. There's so many people in New York. There's so many people from all over the world who are interested in football, who are interested in politics, and it's just a matter of finding them and bringing them into our family.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of spreading the word, do you have an idea how to do that? Is there, we already have like the Fan Love with the Girl podcast. Is there any idea to make a podcast as well, or make a blog, or another way of social media?
Live from East River Bar. No, not at the moment, though. I know we're thinking about a couple of things. We don't do a lot of active recruiting. We've been around for a while. We've got a pretty established group. But I think, we're trying to improve, just trying to do more with social media and trying to, make sure that we're reaching out to other groups of people. We've had this great connection with the New York Cosmos supporters who brought a lot of new fans in through that, particularly through their anti-fascist supporters group that has a lot of crossover with our group. Mm-hmm. So, building those relationships and staying involved with that kind of stuff. And as more exciting things are happening for Cosmos, we're hoping that that's going to be going to do a lot of good things for them. And then in exchange, hopefully we'll be able to make some connections with those people as well.
Very cool. And mm-hmm. Yeah, Canada, what are your plans?
Well, in 5 years' time, wouldn't it be lovely if we were English language play-by-play commentators for
FC
St. Pauli TFL? but that's very much pie in the sky. It would be lovely to be in our own home with a dedicated studio instead of a studio/office producing a higher quality podcast. We've kind of broken the ice with the club by having Bernd and Christian on the podcast. So hopefully we'll continue to be in touch with the club. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe we'll start speaking with players and other officials with the club. But we want to continue to be what we envisioned the podcast to be, which is we're in this really weird nebulous area where we're not really a supporter group, but we're sort of the connective tissue that we can kind of connect people with and keep everyone in touch and keep telling interesting stories through feature interviews for people who may not have the 50 euro every 6 months to subscribe to FC St. Pauli TV to have the ability to have some resource to get a more connected experience to match days rather than just trying to watch the game through highlights or just Twitter text, and be able to share the club that way. Mm-hmm. So more of the same, but better is okay. Kind of what I'm hoping for. I don't know if Samantha has anything to add to that.
Oh, we already know. I would love to do color commentary for the club, English language color commentary on TFL, but that's besides the point. I agree with Sean. I think in 5 years, I'd like to still be doing the podcast, I would love to have a couple of player interviews. And I think part of that is us getting our butts over to Hamburg.
Yes.
So.
So start saving money now.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's these unexpected things.
Like a graduation?
Yeah, of course, of course. It's always this private life that comes in between.
Yes.
Yeah, this is quite everything from my list, except from final words and recommendations that I want to hear from you. But is there anything that you want to bring up or discuss before we come to the famous final words?
No, we just hope that when people come to the U.S., we hope people keep visiting. And if people are out there in the U.S. and are fans and are interested in starting up a supporters group, you can reach out to any one of us or basically any one of the existing North American supporters groups. You can find us through social media and stuff. Everybody is really excited about growing the community here in the U.S., and we're happy to talk to people about how to get started and how to, find your bar and how to set it up so that you can watch the games and everything. We've been able to help each other out a lot, and we're super happy to keep talking to people about expanding it.
Hmm. Yeah, this is quite the idea of what which I had when I was starting this international podcast thing. that people might hear from several chapters within the whole international São Paulo family, and my might think, okay, this is not so far from my hometown, and maybe I get in contact, and I will link all of you in the show notes, and yeah, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, I think nobody will shut the door in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, Ernie's going to laugh at me because I've said this so many times, but my very favorite thing ever is when, like, the first time I met him and he was talking about starting up the Buffalo group, and he said that he always wished that there was a supporters group near him and realized he had to do the punk rock thing and build the community that he wanted to have. And I love that. That's so perfect. That's so St. Pauli. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think, you know, more people, let's build those communities. Sorry, Ernie.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, if you're talking about Ernie, do you have final words to tell the German community or the community itself?
Yeah, I think to the German community, I think I've heard of apprehension about us in North America, and I think that, you know, I ask them to reach out and to get to know us, because I think we all support this club for all the right reasons. You know, at least those of us talking here, and many of us, and that we appreciate the, you know, them allowing and having the club come over to North America, and more than anyone realizes. So just, you know, I'd love to get to know more of the German community, and, you know, the community around the club from Germany. And in addition, we've had the honor to have some members of the Nordkurve support who have visited us at our bar. So just to let them know that if anyone is visiting the States and is at Niagara Falls, we are only 15 minutes away from Niagara Falls. So get in touch and come visit, and I'll show you a wonderful time in my part of this country. So that's all I have to add.
Okay. Sean and Samantha from Canada, what are your final words?
I wish I had something profound to say, but I can't express how much being involved in the club and being part of the North American scene and kind of the club scene in general, how much it means to me, and how this has been an utterly unique feeling of the sense of engagement and empowerment that you get from being involved with St. Pauli. You're not just another supporter of another huge club. You're something different, and it's special. And I think Ernie touched on this earlier. You cross paths with someone, and you see a Totenkopf T-shirt or a scarf, and you may not end up being best friends with the person that you cross paths with, but you know automatically that you share some deeply deeply important values in common, and that bond keeps us together and keeps us as strong as we are.
Yeah, at least for the American part, these are very, very nice words, because of course in the European parts, not everyone with a skull shirt is a St. Pauli fan, but that's another topic that we don't want to discuss tonight. For me, it's tonight. For you, it's like the afternoon. The final thing is that in my normal section of the Millennium, I ask my guests to recommend something they listened or read or watched recently. Can be a podcast, can be a TV show. I just recommended Sunderland Till I Die from Netflix in the UK part. Do you have any recommendations that people might listen or watch or read?
I can start off. I haven't listened to their podcast yet, but there's a new sort of media group getting built up in around here to cover lower league football in North America, and it's an organization called Protagonist. They're on Twitter at Protagonist USA, but our friend Josh Duder is involved with that, and some other people we know. And if you pay attention to the North America St. Pauli Twitter community at all, you'll know that many of us are very involved in lower league soccer in these countries. And so they're building this new media thing to really do some smart and serious coverage of it. So people are interested in what's going on in the U.S. and don't, you know, like, stay away from MLS. Pay attention to some of this. There's a lot more good stuff going on. They have a podcast. It's called The Lower League Soccer Show, which I haven't listened to yet. But their articles are really smart and really, really interesting and well done.
Okay. Ernie, what about you? Do you have anything?
Yeah. Quick background. Last year, we had the opportunity to help start up a refugee soccer team here in Buffalo. With a group called Journey's End, who are a resettlement agency. And a few months ago, a podcast aired about that club. It was the story of two players and the coach and their journeys, how they got from their home country and how they wound up in Buffalo, and about this club that they now play on in Buffalo that we helped to start. And so there was a podcast by a group called Why Sports Matter, and the episode is called Journey's End. And I recommend that if anyone wants to listen, it's a beautiful story. It brought me to tears hearing the story of these people who are now close friends of mine that I've gotten to work with, these refugee students. And so that's my recommendation.
Sounds awesome. Canada?
I'll go first because mine's probably a little bit shorter podcast-wise, since Sean's much more voracious with podcasts than I am. I went with a podcast. Mine's not soccer-related, though. It's put out by our national broadcasting channel, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC for short. They do some really good investigative types of podcasts, but one that I'm particularly fond of is called Missing and Murdered. They have two seasons out where they talk, or where they're investigating disappearances, and in one was a murder of a First Nations woman in a remote part of British Columbia, which is the province even further away from us. But I find it's really important to have discussions around First Nations, because we have done such a poor job of taking care of our First Nations. And to this day, we still have such built-in systemic racism against them, that a podcast like Missing and Murdered brings some of that to light and talks about, you know, some of the racism within our police, our national police force, as well as how little they are cared for just from a general public consciousness. So that's my recommendation.
Okay.
As Samantha alluded to, I am a voracious consumer of podcasts. I have about 40 on the go at any given time. But one that I've really enjoyed lately is from the How Stuff Works network, called Behind the Bastards, and it's hosted by Robert Evans. He talks about, sorry, did I say the title? Behind the Bastards?
Yep, he did.
Totally fine.
And every week he puts out an episode talking about some of the worst people in all of history. And he recently did a three-parter on Mark Zuckerberg, but he's also done more historic episodes as well, like King Leopold III of Belgium and that sort of thing. And it's, I think, important to review not just the present, but the past, because there are so many lessons that we learn from history and hopefully keep from repeating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a variety of topics that we have in recommendations. I already had an English football podcast, a Scottish music podcast, and a Facebook page that covers anti-Antifa stuff. It's like more of a sarcastic, laughing thing. If you watch some right-wing people bothering about left-wing movements, it's like you should give it a watch. I will link all recommendations in the show notes.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you. Perfect timing. Do you hear my doorbell going off there?
I think
I told you.
That wasn't 30 minutes. Yeah. The meal's quite late and maybe cold right now. we'll see. Okay, yeah, thanks again, and I would love to stay in touch, and whenever one of you is in Hamburg, let me know. Of course, for me, it's as hard as for you to come over to the US. but whenever you are here, I would love to meet you guys, and thank you for your time and all the things you told us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yannick.
Bye.
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 Ja, das war er, der internationale Millanton mit Gästen aus Glasgow, Manchester, Yorkshire, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, New York und Buffalo. Und ja, ich hoffe, es hat euch gefallen und wünsche uns allen einen guten Start in die Rückrunde. Wir hören uns am kommenden Wochenende schon wieder, wenn ich mit einem Vertreter von Darmstadt spreche, über das anstehende Spiel beim SV Darmstadt 98. Und ja, ich hoffe, ihr seid uns auch in diesem Jahr als Hörer und Hörerinnen gewogen und freue mich auf viele spannende Gespräche mit unseren Gästen zur aktuellen Zweitligasaison. Bis dahin, tschüss!